you write very effectively about the beauty of war, about this terrible condition, situation you found yourself in, and yet there were moments of exquisite beauty.
Yeah, I think that's true of the testimony of people who came out of Auschwitz. There's a moment, and even in the midst of horror, when beauty is more beautiful, because in a sense it's you can't pursue it. You're locked up. There's a beautiful rainbow out there. It offers a kind of promise that can't be pursued. So it's sadly, tragically beautiful. And in Vietnam, I can recall nights of terrible horror, but I can also recall a gorgeous sunset that in the midst of savagery and butchery is somehow more beautiful and kind of wistful, sad kind of way, but its beauty is magnified by its juxtaposition to the horror.
The opening section of The Things They Carried has a chant-like element to it, the repetition of the word carry or carried. That, for me, contributes a lot to the really great forward momentum of this opening section, lends a sense of gravity to it as well. Do you remember when you settled on this approach, this way of writing this section?
I do. I mean, I remember pretty vividly. It was both the discovery of and the fear of the device of repetition, that the incantation of carry and the forms with which the word carry can mean carry on. It can mean I carried myself with poise. It can mean I literally carried things. There's all kinds of meanings. It was a very simple word. And the use of the word, along with the repetition of the word, gave a marching, humping cadence, which the burdens of toiling up the mountains and through the swamps and into the jungles, that reflected in the language and the repetitious feel of the war, which was largely, for me as a combat veteran, the endless march, village to village and paddy to paddy and jungle to jungle. There was a repetitious feel to it all, punctuated by moments of great horror, and then back to the hump and back to the saddling up with all that gear and, you know, and so on, and humping on to the next villa of the day. That the repetition, I think, like the music, carries the meaning along with it, almost like a river would carry a boat. And that's what prose can do. I know that the object of that title story, the first story in the book, was to have a music underneath it that might give the reader a feel for the kind of forgotten element of war, which is exhaustion. You're always tired. You're always moving. And at times almost sleepwalking. You're so exhausted. You're on guard all night and scared out of your mind that you may be shot the next moment. And then you saddle up and walk some more. And it's a kind of dulling of the senses. It's a dulling of intellect. It's a dulling of the spirit. It's a dulling of conscience, in part through exhaustion.